are living in a chemical world, and I'm a chemical nondescript person. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical.
Hello, and welcome to Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton, Membership Director at KDNK.
And I'm Maggie Seldin, Peer Recovery Coach for MindSprings Health.
As you may have noticed in our last episode, Maggie has a new title, and we're really excited to share with you today some information about this new organization.
That's right, Kenna. I am beyond thrilled to announce that I am the founder and executive director of a new nonprofit serving the Roaring Fork Valley and adjacent communities called High Rockies Harm Reduction.
And I'm also proud to be a co-founder of HRHR, and I serve on the board, so I'm really excited about that. And we wanted to make it clear that Chemical World is an affiliate of our new organization. We've talked before about what harm reduction is, and we'll dive deeper into that today. But HRHR is also a recovery community organization, and I just kind of wanted Maggie to explain what that is.
Yeah, and you know, I know it can be a little confusing because there are so many new recovery-oriented kind of programs out there that it's my goal to really delineate the differences between the many things I do that can be kind of similar. But yeah, so High Rockies Harm Reduction is a recovery community organization, or RCO for short. And what that means is RCOs are nonprofit agencies designed by people in recovery for people in recovery. An RCO maintains that at least 51% of board and staff are people in recovery or affected friends and family members. If you follow the show, you know that Kenna and I are both in recovery, and we both practice a more harm reduction model of recovery, but our board is comprised pretty much entirely of people in recovery with various perspectives represented, including traditional 12-step fellowships and affected friends and family.
Yeah, and everyone on the board was also raised here in the Roaring Fork Valley. And as a grassroots organization, we are deeply committed to being community informed and utilizing participant and stakeholder input to guide our activities.
The social justice mantra, "Nothing about us without us," reflects our desire to engage with all members of our communities and bring a voice to the segments of society that are often overlooked and ignored by mainstream culture. Those experiencing poverty, housing instability, mental health issues, and substance abuse are often ignored and/or discriminated against. Extreme cultural and geographic barriers exist for many of us to access life-saving services.
High Rockies Harm Reduction seeks to reduce stigma and build autonomy within the recovery community and among the underserved populations, including Latinx, LGBTQ+, and houseless individuals, and our essential workers who have always struggled to make a reasonable wage in the Valley and in the nation and now face even greater stressors because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
As an RCO, HRHR seeks to expand peer-based recovery support services in the region by employing individuals with lived experience, but this is only one part of our plan. HRHR's primary mission is to reduce overdose deaths, rates of new HIV and hepatitis cases, and the economic costs associated with the opioid epidemic. We simultaneously seek to increase access to treatment for both behavioral and medical services.
And our proposed activities have been shown to be effective in these areas, as well as in reducing crime and injury in general. By engaging more individuals with recovery-oriented systems of care, we believe that we can reduce the rate of DUIs, suicides, and other accidents. Peer recovery coaching has been shown to produce the following positive benefits for participants: increased treatment retention, improved relationships with treatment providers, increased satisfaction with overall treatment experiences, decreased utilization of emergency services, reduced rehospitalization rates, improved access to social supports, improved housing stability, decreased involvement with the criminal justice system, reduced substance use. There are currently only 151 certified peers in the state of Colorado, including Maggie. Not only does HRHR seek to expand these services in our communities, but we also seek to strengthen the peer workforce by providing opportunities for educational and professional advancement to members of the recovery community, including the affected friends and the family members.
In addition to peer services, HRHR seeks to bring syringe access services to our rural communities. Our plan is to conduct an in-depth needs assessment of the service area by bringing a mobile unit to towns in the area and distributing Narcan, fentanyl test strips, peer support services, resources and referrals, sterile syringes and injection equipment, and safe syringe disposal containers. This needs assessment will guide the implementation of a fixed recovery resource center in 2022.
Over 30 years of studies have shown that syringe access services significantly reduce HIV transmission among people who inject drugs without increasing drug use or criminal activities. Participants in these programs are 5 times more likely to enter treatment for substance use disorder, 3.5 times more likely to cease injecting drugs, and less likely to relapse than those engaging in recovery through traditional punitive methods.
Syringe access programs save taxpayers over $7 for every $1 spent in lifetime costs associated with acquiring HIV. 10% of HIV infections and 60% of hepatitis C infections nationally are related to injection drug use. And we have seen significant increases in both diseases and other forms of viral hepatitis here in rural Colorado in recent years.
These programs also protect communities by keeping syringes out of the streets and parks and reducing the risk of public overdose. 1 in 3 police officers may be stuck by a needle in the line of duty, and these are said to be the most stressful experiences for law enforcement. Not only do we wish to reduce the stigma of substance use, recovery, and mental health needs, but we want to protect our communities from unnecessary accidents and injuries.
In addition to sterile syringes and safe disposal, syringe access programs also provide Narcan, fentanyl test strips, infectious disease screening, testing, and care, first aid and wound care, education and prevention services, and community resources and referrals. The peers employed with these programs engage with traditionally hard-to-reach populations through compassionate, non-judgmental support and provide a safe space to access services.
And these programs are endorsed by nearly every medical association in the nation and the world, including the CDC, the World Health Organization, and the American Medical Association, because they have been proven to be effective strategies for combating the opioid epidemic. Whatever we have been doing is not working well, as overdoses, disease rates, and economic costs continue to soar. COVID-19 has exacerbated these issues, and now it's time to implement evidence-based practices to protect our communities.
It's also worth mentioning that we're not seeking any money from taxpayers or the counties for this project. We plan to utilize a mixed revenue stream of government and foundation grants and individual community donations. To date, High Rockies Harm Reduction has raised $13,000 in unsolicited community donations, and we've been simply overwhelmed by the positive support we've received for this project.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Let's dive back into the concept of harm reduction. As we've addressed on Chemical World in the past, harm reduction is a set of strategies and approaches that seek to reduce the potential harm of our regular activities. Common examples of harm reduction include helmets, seatbelts, condoms, and face masks.
In a recent interview with Dr. Carl Hart promoting his new book, Drug Use for Grownups, Dr. Hart acknowledges how many people die in car accidents every year, yet no one is seeking to outlaw cars. Instead, we put laws in place that seek to reduce potential harm, like speed limits, impairment limits, and mandatory insurance. Dr. Hart also argues that while drugs are an easy scapegoat, societal ills and a crumbling economy are the true causes of the stress, anxiety, and depression that so often leads to unhealthy substance use. As a behavioral health professional, I hear a lot about co-occurring diagnoses, which means someone has both a mental health issue and a substance use issue. However, as an addict and a person in active and sustained recovery, I argue that the majority of individuals struggling with addiction have an underlying mental health issue. Drugs and alcohol abuse are a symptom, not the cause. This is clearly illustrated in the way that many have experienced an increase in alcohol or substance use during the COVID-19 pandemic, as unprecedented amounts of stress, boredom, and uncertainty have led to an increased reliance on substances to cope with these events.
In terms of opioid use, harm reduction programs provide sterile syringes, safe syringe disposal, fentanyl test strips, first aid and wound care, and connections to other community resources. Harm reduction programs do not enable people to use drugs, but meet them where they are and provide life-saving services relevant to each person's unique experience.
When we pressure people into sobriety or give them ultimatums, all we do is encourage them to lie to us, increasing alienation from the medical and behavioral health system, isolation, shame, and stigma, characteristics that increase the risk of overdose and other negative health consequences. Imagine the last time your doctor told you you had to do something, like maybe cut out sugar or eat less salt and fat. Probably doesn't feel great when somebody's telling you what to do, right? We all feel that way.
Yeah.
When we provide individuals a space to be open and honest, they're more receptive to receiving help. I have already seen how effective this approach is firsthand in my work with substance using populations in the Valley and the amount of hope that can be instilled through this approach.
As a harm reduction agency, HRHR acknowledges the reality that drug use occurs and it can cause serious harm. Ignoring drug use or acting like it doesn't happen doesn't solve the problems caused by addiction.
And I'll say right now that we know full well that these problems are absolutely happening in our communities. We know that we're losing more and more friends, families, and neighbors to overdoses. The rates of HIV and various viral hepatitises in our counties has been increasing over the past several years. And specifically, in 2019, there were approximately 220 fentanyl overdoses in the state of Colorado, and early data is indicating that in 2020, there were over 400 fentanyl overdoses in Colorado, illustrating a over 100% increase.
Yeah, that's incredible. And we just have to also acknowledge that this isn't just an opioid epidemic, it is a drug epidemic, and we've talked about this. It's also, you know, methamphetamines, and it's also cocaine, it's also alcohol. And with as we're hopefully getting on the other side of COVID, we're really seeing like people are going to turn to substances to comfort themselves, and we need to make sure they're doing it safely.
Absolutely. And what's really, really scary in our communities here locally in the Roaring Fork Valley in Colorado and across the nation, and yeah, I know we've talked about it, but it bears repeating, the fentanyl is in everything. And it's very, very scary because fentanyl is a white powder drug that is 100 times stronger than morphine, 50 times stronger than heroin. It's either disguised as heroin, you know, they sometimes nowadays will call it China White, and that is fentanyl. There is no pure China White heroin anymore. And then, you know, being a white powder, it's easily disguised in cocaine, meth, MDMA, and it can be pressed into pills like Percocet or Xanax or other medications. I was reflecting with someone last night about how when I was 14, I used to get Valium off the street from someone I knew. And now that could be a potentially life-threatening situation. These drugs on their own are already dangerous, but when something like fentanyl that is that strong is in your substances, it could literally be you took one Xanax and you die. And this is what's happening in our community and in Carbondale specifically. And it's very scary and it's very real. And we are losing people.
It's just, it's scary. It's scary.
It really is. And yeah, I mean, you know, there's so much stigma and judgment around people who choose to use substances. But in reality, 95% of Americans choose to use some substance. I mean, if you have an Adderall prescription, you're basically taking meth, which is fine. You know, drugs aren't inherently bad. It's our relationship with these substances and the impurity of these substances that can be life-threatening. And so it's not just the heroin addict that's at risk for overdose. It's the teenager who's, you know, getting pills off the street. It's the partier in Aspen or the restaurant worker who's doing cocaine or MDMA on the weekends. We really are at a point where we're all at risk, because I find it very hard to believe that there are any of us out there who have never touched anything, never done anything wrong, never made a mistake. You know, the time for judgment is so behind us because it's the patriarchal society that has created these issues. It's not the individual who chooses. And I think that that moral concept of addiction and that concept that it is a choice, you know, is just, it's so pervasive. Just recently, I had a conversation where someone was saying, it's so hurtful that my partner doesn't care enough about me to stop drinking. And I said, it's not that they don't care about you. So they can't handle their own lives, that they've grown up in this culture of addiction. They've been an alcoholic for decades. It's not that they don't love you, that they don't care about you. It's that the choice is not within their control anymore.
We just need to get back to treating people with respect. You know, whether it's just someone you see on the street, you know, we've got to start treating people with respect. And that, to me, I think is just the baseline of what harm reduction is you're just treating people with respect. Anyone who comes in, whether they're a junkie who's using way too much or a person who's using every once in a while, they just want some fentanyl test strips to be safe. They're all just people just trying to get by. You know, we're all just trying to get by.
Yeah, and not to be a broken record, but, you know, we have all been impacted by COVID-19. And this has really been an experience that, as someone who's always felt like I was on the outside of society, I feel really connected to my community in over this past year in a strange way, because we're all going through it together. We're all stressed. We're all terrified. And so we need to give each other the benefit of the doubt that we're all going through this and tensions are really high. And that person who, I always tell myself, the person who cuts me off in traffic is on their way to the ER, is what I tell myself to feel a little bit better about it. But, you know, just, yeah, compassion and respect is definitely the key. And yeah, whether you're a police officer or a city market employee, we're all here suffering together and we need to kind of show each other a little kindness.
Yes. Compassion. That's the other word I think is so important. Compassion, respect, kindness.
Absolutely. We all deserve it. We're all human beings. We've all gone through some rough times, and nobody knows what the experience of another person is truly like. And we need to, yeah, utilize that kindness. So we are really, really excited. We founded this organization in November of 2020. So I just want to kind of summarize what our real purpose and goals are here. And we really want to bring syringe access and fentanyl test strips to our communities, because the nearest place to access those services is Grand Junction. And so people have to travel very far for these services. And we're very excited to say that though we will not be having a brick and mortar building until 2022 at the earliest, that we do now have fentanyl test strips that we can distribute in the community through a collaboration with the Syringe Access Program in Grand Junction.
Great. So if people want fentanyl test strips now, they can contact you.
Yes. And we will provide the contact info at the end of the episode and on the website. But absolutely. And then so we're not duplicating any services there with that piece of the program. And then additionally, we really are trying to increase access to behavioral health care and HIV and hepatitis care. HIV and hepatitis C are no longer the death sentences that they were 10 years ago. Treatment is available. It's much better than it's ever been before. The side effects of the medications are much better. There's also preventative medications for HIV. And the people who really need these services are the people who are often the most alienated, the most afraid to go to the hospital. And I've seen it firsthand. It makes sense to me, you know, going back to that respect and dignity piece. If you go to the ER and you are not treated with respect and dignity and kindness, and you're discriminated against because of your substance use or your self-identifying orientation or your ethnic background, what is the likelihood that you're going to feel like you can get care from that place again? What is the likelihood that you're going to go back, right? And we're all caring professionals. We're here to help people. And so we really need to focus in on that. Yeah, just I think it is really a matter of respect. You know, like if I told you my name was Maggie and then you kept calling me Molly, I would be a little bummed out, right? And that's just basic respect, basic kindness, basic common courtesy, right? So we believe that we are perfectly poised to connect with these populations and get them connected with the treatments and services that they need, whether it's behavioral health or medical health.
And I'm so excited to be a part of this. I just want to make it clear, this is something that Maggie personally has been working on for a very long time.
Yeah,
really focusing on getting this kind of service here in Carbondale?
Well, I would say it really started about a year ago that the realization occurred to me that this was something that was possible in our community. These are services and issues I've always been really passionate about, and I was unwilling to leave my beautiful mountain home to go do the work in the city. And in my last semester of my bachelor's program out in Grand Junction, I took a class on social activism and had to develop a social justice campaign. And I chose this because it was something I was really passionate about. I, you know, designed my bachelor's degree around substance use and abuse and public health policy. And it just clicked to me. Why can't we have this here? We, especially here in Carbondale, are a very progressive community in terms of arts and civil rights. So we should absolutely be leaders in this movement as well. We across the state have always been leaders in drug policy, being the first state to decriminalize marijuana and having truly decriminalized cannabis like way before that. We should be proud of how much we've accomplished as a state and as a local community. I am very proud to have been raised in Carbondale, to call this valley my home, because I think that that associates me with an amazing group of people and some amazing work that's being done. And at the end of the day, this is a social justice issue. This is a civil rights issue. Every single person deserves the right to health care. And health equity and financial equity are huge issues in our community. And every single person is capable of redemption, or I wouldn't be here talking to you today. So if you think, oh, that person's just a drug addict, they're a violent criminal, they're never going to get any better, I'm here to tell you they can, because I did.
And you should be so proud, because this is incredible. A year ago, you thought, huh, we could do this. And here we are. We're doing it.
It's
You're
happening.
You're doing it. You're doing it. And it's so incredible. And one thing that I also wanted to mention, because I dropped the ball last month, Maggie had her 2-year anniversary in sobriety, and I almost forgot to say something. And so that was February 6th. So congratulations, Maggie. You are so inspirational.
Thank you so much, Kenna. And I know I say it all the time, but I couldn't do it without you. I wouldn't be here without you and the rest of our board. It's just been so serendipitous how amazingly this work has aligned with our true passions, and that we can come together in this way to do this really important work. And I'm so grateful to all of the community partners that have been supportive of this. And I just feel blessed to live in a town where you know, the folks in Grand Junction are very impressed with how supportive people have been of this, as we've just kind of been slowly starting to have conversations with other healthcare providers and law enforcement departments, and just really, you know, being very strategic about how we talk about these things, because it can be very controversial. But we live in an amazing community full of amazing people doing amazing work, and we can really make a difference. And we can really set the tone for the future to be how we want it to be, where it's all about freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of justice for all, right?
That's right.
If you're interested in making a donation to High Rockies Harm Reduction, you can do so at our online platform at highrockiesharmreduction.wedid.it. We're also seeking potential vehicle donations for our needs assessment, in-kind support, and volunteers. We're also building an advisory council of people who use or inject drugs and are seeking greater involvement on our board from the community. If you're interested in any of these opportunities or simply have any questions, comments, or concerns about these proposed activities, please contact me at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at highrockiesharmreduction.com. Well, as always, I am so happy to be here hosting Chemical World with you, Kenna. And if you have any questions or comments about any of the subjects we've talked about today, or are interested in getting connected with behavioral health services, you can contact me at 970-531-5060 or mcelldean at mindspringshealth.org. For questions specific to High Rockies Harm Reduction, please reach out to me at maggie@highrockiesharmreduction.com.
Thank you for listening to Chemical World. Chemical World is created by Maggie and I. The theme music is performed by Muggsy Fay, also known as Maggie Seldine. You can find all of our past episodes on kdnk.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're there, please rate and review Chemical World. It helps people find us so we can educate as many people as possible. You can follow Chemical World on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also follow HRHR on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The next episode of Chemical World will air on KDNK at 4:30 on April 12th.
So tune in April to hear all about Bicycle Day and the exciting advents in psychedelic science.
Ooh. And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean.
Drugs may come and drugs may go, and that's all right, you see. Experience has made me rich, and now I can use safely. It might be beer, it might be dope, it may even be caffeine. But we all have a little something that keeps us on our feet. What's important is being safe and stopping the spread of disease. You do not have to be sober to keep your community clean. 'Cause we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical gender nondescript. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. You know we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl.